Okay, thank you. All right. Also, I found several articles written by people up in the Dallas area in Dallas Head Notes, and one was attorney Gregory Sampson, who talked about their deficiencies may also interfere with other duties, such as the duties to keep the client reasonably informed and to maintain client confidentiality. So there are other things involved beyond that help us decide whether this person can contract with us or not. So to me, it comes down to this. We have three options. We can contract with this person, we can not contract with this person, or we can contract with somebody that may have a power of attorney already, but then we're not contracting with somebody who has diminished capacity, which is the whole purpose of this presentation. Representing an agent under a power of attorney is a whole different kettle of fish. So, should we consider having this person go talk to a doctor first and getting a verification, a certification that they actually have capacity? So the ABA has a handbook called Assessment of Older Adults with Diminished Capacity. If you're in this area, I think at least once in your career, you might want to run through that. It's kind of an interesting read. It has a lot of helpful information. And they talk about the pros and cons about getting an affidavit. They clarify specific areas of diminished capacity, elicit advice of strategies to enhance capacity. So maybe this certification will help the family recognize that maybe there's a medication regime that needs to be started or tweaked that will help. Identify a need for protective action, justify concerns of family. Here's the one that worries me. Provide evidence in subsequent depositions or court hearings. That actually is not very comforting to me. I remember Fleetwood Mac before the iteration that you all know from the 80s, because back in the 60s, they had a song, and one of the lines was, "Don't ask me what I think of you. You might not like the answer that I give to you." Well, don't ask the doctor what they think about your potential client, because you may not like the answer, because they may create ambiguity, and then if you take that client on and there's a later litigation, it may be a mess. I remember going to many presentations where probate litigators tried to scare planners like me about planning for somebody with diminished capacity. And somebody had, there's several cases like this where they videotaped a will signing. And most of those are complete disasters. It's clear that they're being coached. I don't think I would ever do that under any circumstances. But that is one of those things where you're just creating a record which can result in problems. The cons that the ABA handbook talks about can be difficult to obtain consent from the client. Yeah. Let me talk about that for a second. I've had a lot of calls where somebody will call me and they'll say, "Well, mom really needs a I think mom needs a guardianship. We really need to get her a guardianship because, you know, she needs a lot more care than she's willing to let us give to her." And, okay, great. Well, you know, the golden ticket to get into the guardianship court is a medical certification. So you're in contact with her doctor, right? I mean, y'all are talking regularly? Oh, no, she doesn't like doctors. She doesn't want to go to doctors. She hadn't been to a doctor in years. Well, that's a problem for you, because if she won't go to a doctor voluntarily and you're not her guardian who can make her. Now, I understand the estates code has a provision where you can start a guardianship and have a court-ordered physical examination. But I would think, and I'm not a probate litigator or guardian litigator, I would think you would want to be pretty sure that that person would be determined to be incapacitated by that doctor before you went down that road and spent all that money. Because what if the doctor says, "Well, no, I think they have capacity. Then you've just wasted a lot of time and maybe put in a lot of time that's not going to get compensated. And so I had a case many years ago before the current doctor certification was in place. Two kids said, our dad has a really bad alcohol problem. We think he has diminished capacity. Apparently it was not that bad because he and his attorney showed up at the guardianship hearing to challenge the doctor's letter. And I said, okay, kids, we're not going to get a guardianship today. You can fight him about this, not me because I'm not a litigator, or you can walk away. And I think they decided to walk away because he clearly did not have diminished capacity at that point. Can be traumatic for the client, can be unsettling for the attorney-client privilege. Not a great way to start the relationship with your client when you say, I think you don't really understand anything. Can you go to a doctor so I can make sure you understand everything we're going to talk about? That's not a good way to start the relationship. And, of course, it can be expensive. Okay, what else? Should you be involved in making that determination? Absolutely not. There are the state bar, there's an advanced estate planning probate course where they talk about don't do a formal assessment yourself. It's not your job. You're not trained to do that. The ABA handbook has similar advice. Don't go out and try to learn how to give somebody a mini mental evaluation. It's not your job. You're not trained for that.